Prayer for the Word of God, Lord. We thank you for this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Lord. You gave it in one swoop, and we need a little bit of time to cover it. But Lord, we thank you that your truth is powerful, that the truth of your Word changes lives, Lord. And so as we come to really look at the truth and what you say about truth today, through this time in the Sermon on the Mount, Lord, we ask that you would guide us, that you would go before us. Lord, I just pray that I would stick close to the Word of God, Lord, that there would be everything that is said would be in line with the truth of your Word. Father, get me out of the way, Lord. Speak through your Scripture. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right. In the early 1960s, a political writer, Hannah Arendt, attended the trials of Adolf Eichmann. And Adolf Eichmann was the German officer who had orchestrated much of the Holocaust. He was an evil man. And as she was going in, she was expecting to see somebody who looked truly evil. And as he sat down and as he shared and as the words came out of his mouth, one of the things that struck her and almost knocked her over was how normal he looked. How normal he looked. And it was very hard for her to see this simple, normal-looking man who was responsible for so much evil up there. And it became this focus of her story. It became a big thing of, and as she shared about the normalcy of his look, many of her readers were offended because they wanted to see the monster. Well, sometimes the monster's on the inside, isn't it? Sometimes the things that are wrong are on the inside. Sometimes with us, our sin isn't seen on the outside, but it's on the inside. Sometimes when men and women come and they come with a new message and it sounds profound and it sounds enlightened, and there seems to be something sounding and ringing slightly or quite a bit like the Scriptures, but maybe it's a new word, an addition to the New Testament. We've got to be careful, guys. We've got to be careful because the Bible warns against false prophets. The Bible warns against false prophets. And as we're going in today, that's what we're talking about today, is what Jesus, in the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, says about false prophets and false teachers, starting in verse 15 of chapter 7. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Guys, this warning comes out of what Jesus has just said. And if we take the two verses before that, it's enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. One of the main messages of the false prophet is there is a broad way of salvation. We have so many who will tell us in our culture, in our community, that, you know, it's not really important what you believe, it's important to believe something. And so there's this lie that faith is good. You see on TV shows all the time, you just gotta have faith. They don't say faith in what? You need more faith. I watched I admit it, I like Hallmark movies, okay? I do. I actually find myself at times going between football and Hallmark movies during the commercials. It's My wife still loves me. Can you imagine? She still loves me. But man, as I was watching a Hallmark movie, one of the things that struck me was once again hearing the words, you've got to have faith, just this week. And God was never mentioned. Jesus was never mentioned. But the whole point was you need to have more faith in something. The broad way will try to widen the narrow way. The great test for a false teacher is this, guys, and this is so important, the narrow way of Jesus. The great test of faith for us to say, is this somebody who is teaching the Word of God? Is somebody who takes the Word of God and stands on the truth of the Word of God and teaches that Jesus Christ is Lord? Because outside of that, it's just faith in something. And it says here, watch out for false prophets, for they will come to you in sheep's clothing. Why would a false prophet come in sheep's clothing? The picture I have with this is the wolf that's literally got the sheep's skin, and the wolf is underneath. Have you ever seen that picture? Where the wolf is down there and the sheep's wool is on top of him, and he's got the fake head and the sheep's wool on top? Couple things about false teachers that are like wolves. Some of them know they're wolves. Some of them are intentional about being wolves. They know they're full of it. Others have not only deceived others, they've deceived themselves. And the disguise has become so good that they are believing the lie that they're giving. But guys, we need to be careful, because where somebody states they stand with Jesus Christ in the truth of the Word of God is what defines truth or a lie. Those who question Jesus' authority or go on his words are clearly false teachers. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. To be effective in deceiving God's people, it's essential that false teachers disguise themselves and that they do it well. But inwardly, what does it say? They're ferocious wolves. They're seeking to tear apart the truth of the Word of God. For what? Often for personal gain. Sometimes for power. Sometimes both. Sometimes the list goes on. Often the ones who are deceived themselves feel as though they've had an enlightened word from God, that God has given them a special message, which is different, which is an addition to the New Testament. But we know that Scripture states that it's in full. There's no more revelation that is the further revelation. Jesus Christ has come. And we see the revelation of the Old Testament found in the person of Jesus Christ. However influential, through personal charm, no matter how marked by brilliant intellect or educational achievement, teachers are not to be trusted above the Word of God. And we need to always remember that. The teacher that divides and scatters the flock is to be rejected. And the greatest way to divide the flock is to teach false teachings about who Jesus is and what his word, the Word of God, says. And here we find the remainder of the Sermon on the Mount is devoted to the things which will enable the child of God to distinguish between what is true and what is false. And so now he's given us the warning, and now we're seeing, okay, how do we do this? How do we do this? Starting in verse 16 here, by their fruit. By their what? By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Guys, this isn't talking about losing your salvation. This is talking about false teachers. It's talking about people who are giving a word that is not from the truth of the word of God. And so it's saying by their fruit, we're going to see them. And you can't get the fruit of the apple from the root of thistles. You know, how strange would it be if you saw somebody, hey, welcome to my home. You know, I'm doing a nice special fruit dish for you here, and I'm just going to go out, and I've got some weeds in the back, and I'm going to get you some fruit for our meal. There's no logic behind getting what is good from what is bad. By their fruit. Guys, I want to be careful how I say this, but I think it's something we need to talk about. I think one of the reasons that often the bad fruit is put forward as truth, the lie is put forward as truth, it's in the name of tolerance. Not every false prophet is the man that's secretly the one who's evil. Often the false prophet is the person who's trying to be relevant, who's trying to have answers, who wants to know the truth themselves in some way, who feels like they've got an understanding, and so they bring something forward. And remember, we've just gone through the scriptures in the past couple weeks of don't judge, but judge. Be careful, because you got to take the plank out of your own eye before you can deal with the speck in your brother's. But don't cast your pearls before a swine. Don't be careful, because we've got to be careful of these false teachers. And the lie of today is tolerance. We got to accept everything. Everything's good. If it's not, and our youth are being beaten down with a message of tolerance. It's wrong to say anything's wrong. Jesus was intolerant of sin. Guys, I want to say that again. Jesus was intolerant of sin. He hated the sin and loved the sinner. Guys, he hated the sin, but loves the sinner. He loves us, but he hates our sin, and he's willing to speak the truth about it. He loves us enough. A parent who loves their child won't say, go play out in the traffic, do whatever you want. They will give them specific rules and instructions. Why? For their blessing. Because it's out of love. Today, we are missing the Seahawks game. To be here this morning. You know what? There's not a lot of tolerance when it comes to playing outside the rules of football. What happens? The flag goes out. We live in a society that is intolerant of so much, but yet worships tolerance for what we want at the moment. You know, it's interesting. If you are to take the circumference of a circle, or 2 + 2 equals what? 4. I didn't hear anybody respond. But what if you put on the test 3? Does the teacher say, that was really close? You were only one away. I am tolerant of your answer of 3. No, the truth is 2 + 2 equals. There we go. Man, you see, truth is freeing. When we have the rules to a game, it's a good game. When we get outside the rules, it's chaos. There's no point. And so when we are given instruction in God's truth, it's what? It's to make sure that there's a field and there's the play, and we know what we're doing. It is so exhausting when you don't know what's expected of you. One of the things that causes children a lot of angst in the family is when the rules are always changing. Or there are no rules. But when it's clear, as God's word is clear, there's blessing. There's blessing. So how do we identify the right path? You know, we started this series with the Beatitudes. To be on the right path is to. And we're ending in the same spot. He's coming full circle, isn't he? He's coming full circle. And he's stating it a little bit more intense. But to be on the right path. So how can we know that the true path, how can we know the true pathway from the false one? How can we know the right one? It's by the fruits. Is it somebody who's saying, are the words we're hearing, if I ever get up here and I state anything besides Jesus as Lord, if I comment one day, I won't. But if I come one day and say Jesus was just a good teacher, I need to be let loose. You need to have me move on. Because it's a lie. Was he a teacher? Yes, but he's not just a teacher, not just a rabbi, not just a good man. And so many people are comfortable with Jesus being a good man, a good teacher. He claimed to be the Son of God. He wasn't just a good teacher. He claimed to be God. And as have multiple writers have said, liar, lunatic, Lord. Liar. He was lying about being God and he knew it. He was trying to, he had an angle. Or he's as crazy as a loon. He believed his lie. Or Jesus is who he says he is. By his fruit. What kind of fruit is the fruit of Jesus Christ? We're the fruit. The message kept going. People are still being loved in the name of Jesus Christ. Wonderful things are being done as the truth of the gospel is going out. And people are being saved for eternity, most important, because the gospel is true. The person that has their roots in the will of God does not produce the fruit that is contrary to their character. And when we start to get and struggle in that area, our conscience is seared, and it's something inside of us, and we repent of our sin. Guys, we can't be perfect. Only Christ is perfect. But when we sin, if we know Jesus Christ, something inside of us will be amiss. You been there? You been there today yet? How about this week? When we sin, there's something inside of us that hurts, that feels wrong. And that's because we have Christ in us. And when we have Christ in us and we try and bring in sin, it's a mess. A mess. False prophets are those who teach false things and those who make false claims about God. They're often disguised. We can see them by their fruit. And then we need to do that by looking at their teaching. False prophets are recognized by their teaching. John tells us the difference between those who choose to trust and follow God and those who don't. 1 John 4, 5 and 6 says this. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. And guys, this truth is being claimed, but it's not because it's my truth or an apostle's truth, it's because they are repeating and sharing the truth of God's word. And anyone who tries to deviate, who tries to go away from the truth of the word and into something new, something else, We've got to be very careful. True prophets and teachers are teaching Jesus as Lord, and his word is truth. Continue on in verse 21 of Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me... Guys, this should disturb us a little bit. We should struggle through this next scripture. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. A few will say to Jesus on the day, many. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, because there's one way. Jesus is the way. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Woo! Okay, hold the phone. Didn't we just say by their fruit? What's going on here? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? They are saying they prophesied in the name. It's not that they were prophesying in the name. They were maybe speaking and prophesying, but many will say that, didn't I do these things for you, God? There's going to be a lot of people who've been told in churches that teach a false truth that you just got to have faith in something. It is not loving to lie. Jesus loves us enough to tell us the truth about how to have eternal life and how to know him. Guys, I know in a tolerant society, these words that I'm saying are harsh on the ears. But Jesus was intolerant of sin. And I think we need to be too. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I haven't known you for the last little bit. You've gone on a different path than where you started. Is that what it says? Then he will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Sometimes scripture needs to be difficult for us to process. It needs to be hard to hear, and we need to not be thinking, how do I sanitize this? How do I make it easier for people's ears to hear? It's not supposed to be easy. Jesus is the stone that makes men stumble and the rock that makes them fall. A lot of people believe in God, in an all-powerful being. And they come to Jesus and they say, no. The wide gate, the wide road says, doesn't really matter. But what does Jesus say?
Then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. Any scheme for social, actually, before we get that, I want to say this. Is our worship based upon a ritualism of saying the right things? Is it about what we say or upon obedience because of our relationship with him? Notice what I didn't say, because of obedience. Because of our obedience, because of our relationship with him. Our obedience doesn't come from earning our right way with God. Our obedience comes from being born again and being transformed by who Christ is in us. And because I've been transformed through faith by grace, now I have the ability to be obedient. Now I have the ability to hear God's word and process it and understand it.
Before, it was an old dusty book. Granted, a bestseller, but an old one. Now it's the living word. Now it's the breath of life. Now it's the truth which I desire like a deer pants for water. Now it's what I crave. I used to crave sin and self and me and what I want at the moment. And now I've been transformed. And when I live the way I used to, something inside of me is amiss. And I know there's something more. And I repent of my sin. Why? Because I'm not right with God. Not from Him to me, but from me to Him. And I want that intimacy restored. And my sin has been me turning my back on God, and I want to be right here.
Any scheme for social or religious good that does not obey God's revealed truth in its daily steps is a false way. And we need to stay away from it. Guys, we all know John, or most of us know John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It goes on in verse 7. If you have really known me, you know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You want to know what God is like? You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Because when you see Jesus, you see God. Think about what Jesus is claiming here. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's saying, I'm God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you've seen me, you've seen him. It's a narrow way. Where are we? Where are we? What do you believe? What do you really believe? Because the truth will set you free. And my prayer is that that freedom will be experienced by everyone here, by more and more out in our community who don't know him yet. Through the people in our church, through the people in the other churches, through those who are from this community, who go to churches elsewhere, but come home and share the gospel in everyday life. I want to read this. This is a quote from Billy Graham. Billy Graham was an incredible prophet teacher, a teacher of his time. He's recently passed. I'm curious, how many here today that have Billy Graham as a part of how you came to Christ? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What a teacher. What a teacher. I love this. This is from Billy Graham. Jesus was narrow about the way of salvation. He plainly pointed out that there are two roads in life. One is broad, lacking in faith, convictions, and morals. It is the easy, popular, careless way. It is the way of the crowd, the way of the majority, the way of the world. But he pointed out that this road, easy though it is, popular though it may be, heavily traveled though it is, leads to destruction. In a loving, compassionate intolerance, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. He spoke of two roads, two kingdoms, two masters, two rewards, and two eternities. Christ said that the broad, wide, easy, popular way leads to death and destruction. Only the way of the cross leads home. I love that. Only the way
of the cross leads home. Only the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done is what brings life, is what gives hope. Guys, we've got a world out there that is broken. And they are searching for anything of meaning. And they have tried this and they've tried that. And it's come up empty. Many of them have even tried religion. And it's come up empty. Some have tried the religion of Christianity without faith. And it's come up empty. There's always a need for something more outside of Jesus Christ. There's always a lack of, I must be missing something. You are. You're missing Christ. One of the sins of this age is the sin of broad-mindedness, of tolerance, and we need to be careful. It doesn't mean that we need to be rude. It means we need to be loving. Guys, did you hear that? The response to sin and evil and a world that is just tolerant about everything, it's not to be rude, it's not to be mean, but it's to love as Christ loved in truth through his Holy Spirit. So we come alongside people who are struggling because they don't know the truth, and we share it with them lovingly, and we encourage them as Christ did. Christ over and over in his big picture, he came to seek and save the lost. Why did Jesus come to earth? To die for our sins, right? Because we were broken. We have sin and God is holy and sin and holiness can't commingle. And that sin needed to be dealt with. And in the midst of coming and dying for our sins, he takes the time. And we see story after story after story in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus stops to take time with the individual or the small group and love on them right where they're at and speak the truth in love. He was dealing with some pretty big things, salvation for humanity, and yet he deals with the individual lovingly. If Jesus can do it, we can do it. If it's important enough to Christ, it needs to become important enough to us. I don't know what happens to me sometimes when I get in a car. I'm on mission. And I think, you know, I'm with people here and I'm with people here. And I may have plenty of time to get from point A to point B. But sometimes there's that feeling of, I need to go. I need to. And sometimes when I get in the car, the response is, man, need to make the best time. And as soon as sometimes when we're at a family function and dad gets it in his head that it's time to leave and go home, it becomes all encompassing. And we achieve what needs to be achieved, which is getting in the car, driving quickly, and moving and getting home. And I can't tell you, there's probably more, but at least 10 times that I can think of where I was on mission. And so, you know what? You follow my lead and we go. And I stepped on the people. Sometimes when we have the mission of the gospel, we can get it in our heads that it's important to complete the mission. But how does Jesus complete the mission? Over and over, what does he? He stops and when he talks to the children, what does he do? He gets down and lets the children come to me. He welcomes them in. When he's talking to the prostitute who's been brought half naked before men and tried to be embarrassed, he shows her love. He gives her a way forward. He provides truth in love over and over. To the man with leprosy, he doesn't just heal him. The man who hasn't been touched, who has to walk all over the place saying, unclean, unclean. Jesus doesn't just heal him. He goes to him and he touches him to heal him. Why? Because he's dealing with the whole person. He's not just wanting to physically heal him. He's wanting to let him know, you're loved. I'm willing to touch you. I'm not going to heal you from afar. You need to know what it's like to be loved, to be touched. God wants to touch us individually. He wants us to know him intimately and personally. Hey guys, we get to be the ambassadors for Christ. And that means we get to go around and love people with the truth of his word and the gentleness of his grace. We all need grace, right? And we need to give grace. Doesn't mean we neglect truth. It means we give truth well. The same way Jesus gave truth. There's a community out here just outside our doors. As soon as we leave, we're going to be with them. Let's love them well in truth. Let's not be false prophets. When somebody says something that's not true, let's be willing to speak up lovingly. Let's love people enough to tell them the truth. Hey guys, I promise you this, there will be a cost to it. Some of them will reject the truth. Some of them will reject you along with the truth. Here's another reality. Some will be offended. A lot will be offended if we do it in a way that Jesus didn't do it. But if we do it the way the Lord gives us, and if we pray, do a quick prayer as you're, you need to say something, Lord, speak through me. Get me out of the way here. And then share the truth in love. Guys, we need more people who will step out and say, without shame, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for raising from the grave. Thank you for preparing a place for us as you ascended. Lord, thank you that you're coming back for us, that there is an eternity, there is life after death, there is eternal life. Lord, thank you that eternal life is eternal. And when we come to true faith, nothing can take that away, not even death. Nothing can separate us from the love of God when we are truly sealed in him by the Holy Spirit, by you, God. And so, Father, we ask right now, Father, we ask that you would speak in a powerful way. Lord, we thank you for those teachers, those men and women who have spoken into our lives, who spoke from the truth of the gospel in love. Lord, I can look at so many that have encouraged me, that have been a part of you working your truth out in my life. People who cared enough to say loving truth. People who cared enough to say the hard things. People who cared enough to get involved even though it was a little bit messy. People who cared enough to get invested in my life even though I let them down. Lord, may we be those kinds of people, those kinds of teachers, that kind of influence on others, where we're willing to count the cost as you counted the cost. Father, protect us from wanting everything to be easy. May we be willing to get messy and our hands dirty, loving people and sharing truth in a way that honors and glorifies you. So, Father, protect us here and all the churches in this community, Lord, and And around this world, Lord, we pray for protection from false teachers who teach anything but Jesus is Lord. Anything outside of the truth of the Word of God. Father, may we be about your will and your truth. Show us how to be bold, lovingly bold, for your glory, with your grace and love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.